Good morning. It is such a joy to be here with you today. There's such a sweet spirit here. And can I say that the music ministry, it's like manna from heaven? Can I just say that? I wanted to weep. The music was so beautiful. It was like a balm. And so I just thank everyone who you've brought your hearts into this place and you make this church, you make Crosswinds who she is. So thank you. Let us pray. And so God, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for gathering us in. Lord, we thank you for the beauty and laughter and joy of children, for the blessing of your word. Lord, we thank you for ordering our steps. Lord, you know us and you know how we come and you know what we need. And so, Lord, we are your people and we simply ask that you would speak, for we are listening. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock, you are our redeemer, you are our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I was so delighted when Pastor Stina asked me to come and preach that you all were in this series on David. I love the story of David. That's a whole nother sermon as far as why I love the story of David, so I won't go there. But in David's story, we are reminded that life, our lives, is layered and it's textured and it's multifaceted. And the text of the day, I don't know about you, but it's a very perplexing text. It's the backdrop. I love giving backdrop when I preach, because you need to know the backstory in order to understand what's really happening. And so it's like King David is toward the end of his life's journey. And he has taken a census and counted the number of fighting men in all of Israel. His servant Joab tried to warn him against doing it because it was sinful in the sight of God. And the text does not explicitly say why it was sinful, but it's presumed that it had something to do with David becoming very prideful. And so it angers the Lord, and the Lord brings judgment on the people. Pestilence kills 70,000 people in Israel. And just as God sends an angel to destroy Jerusalem, David's capital, God has compassion and stays the hand of the angel. And David looks up and sees the angel of the Lord with a sword raised in his hand, standing between heaven and earth. And David and the elders, they fall on their face in deep grief. David confesses, repents, and intercedes on behalf of the people. David owns up to his sin and knows that it is his sin that causes the suffering of the people. And then the angel of the Lord tells Gad, David's personal prophet, to tell David that he should go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Now, I don't know about you, but this is one of those Old Testament passages of scripture that just simply makes me a bit squirmy. It's not the type of scripture that you give when you really want someone to come and follow Jesus. You know, you ask the question like, is this the good, compassionate God we've come to know and love? Is this God? This is that judging, smiting, and smoting God. This is that scary God. This is the God that makes some of us want to run and hide. That's the backdrop of the text. And as we read, we find that David does indeed go up and erect an altar on the threshing floor. Now, the threshing floor that belonged to this Jebusite, David appears, but what you need to know is that David had conquered the land of the Jebusites. David had conquered the land and then used that land to make Jerusalem, his capital city. And when he approaches Ornan tries to give everything that David will need to build an altar, not only the threshing floor, but the wood and the oxen. And then he tries to give it to David for free, and yet David refuses. And I love David's reply. It's, no, I will buy them for the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, nor offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing. David says, basically, I will not offer a sacrifice that is not a sacrifice. Now, can you agree with me that this is a perplexing text of scripture? Here's my wondering. I first wondered, like, what's wrong with giving something to the Lord that someone gave you, right? I mean, we live in this culture of regifting, right? I mean, what's wrong with taking Aunt May's crocheted pot holders and passing them on to your coworker? I mean, it might help them not to burn their hands, right? But could it be that David knew that his sacrifice and his blessing, his offering and being made right with God, was all wrapped up together? David was told to build this altar on the threshing floor. And when we think about an altar, when we think about that, we think about it as a place where there is forgiveness of sin, where relationship and connections are made right between us and God. See, the altar is so much more than that. The altar is this place where we come to receive blessing. See, the altar is a place, if you've ever come here and knelt on these stairs, the altar is this place where we come in humility and we come in vulnerability. We come letting go of our own understanding. See, it's at the altar where we're often at the end of our self-sufficiency, if we tell the truth. It's the place where we let go so that we can take hold. It's at the altar where we seek to turn away from the barriers between us and God. It's at the altar where, I don't know about you, but I come and where I want to let go of the barrier that's even blocking me from being fully Cynthia. It's at the altar where I come to let go of that which blocks me from being at one with people in my community and in my family. The altar is a place of reconciliation. See, this text speaks to offerings that engage our whole heart. And see, there were many types of if you read the Old Testament, there were many types of offerings that could be made. But the offering that David gave was a burnt offering. And what we need to understand is that is the type of offering where the entire animal was consumed. There was nothing left for the priest. There was no, like, save some of the choice portions of the meat for the priest or for David or the bread. There is something about giving with our whole heart. See, there are so many ways to experience generosity from others. There are so many ways to express generosity. And I love, I was here this summer and Pastor Stina gave me a tour of the building and shared with me, see, the work of that kitchen. I was so touched. There are so many people who have given of their time and their skills and their talents, and it's been a gift, and it's been the spirit. It was more than just the labor. It was the spirit in which, and I mean, you were blown away, right? You were so blown away that I had to have you. I needed you all to be featured at annual conference, because it's no small thing when we think about how this congregation gives from your heart. There is something that just simply touches you in a different way. And I'm going to do something. I'm going to take a little moment of privilege. And I just want you to share with the person next to you a memory of a gift that you've received that just touched you deeply, that has remained with you. So I'm going to give you like 2 minutes. The clock is ticking. Share with the person next to you a gift or something you've experienced. All right. Okay, I'm going to maybe ask, would somebody call out something that came to mind? You can just call it out.
Children.
An instrument handed down. lovely, an instrument. Yeah. A mother's ring. Yeah. I was thinking about, I used to, my dad has passed, but I used to make cards. And every time I would make a card and send it to him, and I'd talk to him on the phone, and he'd say, "You made that yourself, didn't you?" And I kind of would hear his smile, and I was like, "Yeah, I did," you know? And so it was just that whole idea of something that's just like out of that little effort, thinking about like someone bringing you wildflowers from the side of the road, and hopefully you don't sneeze, right? We just love a heartfelt gift, and so does God. And you know, we live in a world that would have us believe that the size or the showiness of it is the best way to determine the value of our generosity. Scripture says, "I will not offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing." If we want to truly understand ourselves and others, we must not limit ourselves. We can never limit ourselves to one or two events and allow that to define our lives. Too often we get stuck on a facet or a vignette and use that as the sum total of the narrative of a person's life. And we even do that with God. But that's why I tell you, when I say I love the story of David, Eugene Peterson has this beautiful book called Earthy Spirituality for Everyday People. If you've never read that, I really recommend it. It's the whole breaks down the story of David's life. Because when we look at his life, it's one of the most detailed and expansive narratives that looks like what it is to be fully human and living in relationship with God. David was a hot mess, y'all. He was a hot mess. But the scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. And so to know David and the words behind those words, "I will not offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing." There is this deep sense of remembering, of David remembering his journey and remembering from where his blessings have come. See, his life was one of faltering and getting off track and falling down and getting back up. And then it was all front and center for everyone to see. And so I just wonder this morning, like, who has God been for you on your journey? The longer you live, the longer I live, the longer we walk with God, the better you and I know how precious we are. The better we come to know and see God all up in our lives, healing and forgiving and reviving and transforming, the more we see God's deep commitment and investment in us. "I will not offer to the God that which cost me nothing." What shall we give out of gratitude for who God is and all God has done in our lives? We come to this sanctuary. We come on Sundays. We come in worship. And this is our threshing floor. This is the place where the wheat and chaff of our lives are separated. This is the place where we are recentered on what matters and we focus in to let go of that which does not. We worship in this place and we worship beyond this place with our very being. In all the places you are planted, I hope you hear this, you are the celebration of God on the earth. Romans 12:1 instructs us to daily offer our bodies as living sacrifices. We are invited to offer our hands and our feet, our hearts and our minds as living gifts, as the celebration of God on the earth. As Christ followers, we are broken bread and poured out wine that makes a difference in the world. In a world that is hungry, a world that is thirsty, a world that is deeply in need of sustenance. Romans 12:2 reads that, "So here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." See, the invitation for you and the invitation for me is to let go of fixating not on what we don't have, to let go of fixating on gains we have not made, but to meditate on who we are and all that we have in Christ. We have everything we need to be who God has created us to be. We have everything we need to walk out what God has before us. And so when you think about where God has brought you to, and when you think about how God has cared for you and loved you and leads you and keeps you, I am so glad today. My testimony today is that we serve a keeping and sustaining God. If I stop and think about all of who I was even last year and who I am today, I am just blown away. I am blown away. I was a child. Here's my testimony. You know, scripture says God will keep you in perfect peace. I was a scary child. I didn't know peace. And so I was in one of those, you know, those hellfire brimstone kind of churches, smiting and smoting. I know what I'm talking about. I was in one of those places. And so I was terrified and gripped by fear and couldn't reconcile that scripture says that God will keep you in perfect peace. But I am here to tell you today that the scripture is true, and it does not mean that it is in the absence of life being perfect, right? But I am here to tell you that God has brought me to a place where I know the peace of God that truly surpasses all understanding. And so as you journey with Jesus and as I journey with Jesus, I pray that we may go saying like David, we will not give to the Lord offerings that cost us nothing. Life is filled with trouble and trials and transition, but I cannot imagine living this life apart from the faith and the hope and the promises of God in Christ Jesus. This full and abundant life, it has cost God dearly. God gave his only son. Jesus paid it all, and to all to him we owe. And so here's my testimony. Here's my testimony as I wrap up with you. When I think about the Lord and how he saved me and how he raised me and how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around and placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. You are worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me shout. And so I say to you today, what shall I give to the Lord for all God's benefits to me? Lord, you can have this life. You can have this life and do with this life what you will, because I do know that sacrifice and blessings go hand in hand. And Lord, I want every blessing you have in store for me. And I want you to have every blessing God has in store for you. So I pray today that you would continue to be Crosslands, that you would continue to be the celebration of God on the earth, that you would continue to be who you are because the world desperately needs you. Amen. 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 Let us pray. And so, God, we do thank you. We thank you, God, for this word that, yes, perplexes, Lord, but yet, Lord, that reminds us, God, that this is our threshing floor, that this is a place, Lord, where we come and we can be fully who we are, and that we can trust you, God. We can trust you to make all things right. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.